Hey there, it's Samantha King, and I want to welcome you to this episode of Online Courses That Sell. This episode was a live episode recorded as part of our summer school series, and that is happening all summer, and you can join us every Wednesday live at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for me and some guest experts, where we are having a candid chat about what's working, what isn't working, and what is just flat out BS when it comes to creating, hosting, and selling online courses. The topic for this episode was the market research questions you need to be asking if you want a course that sells. And the conversation was amazing, and the experts were bringing gems and dropping nuggets left, right, and center. I was joined by Presh Rogers, Jackie Sunga, Jenny Wright, and Julia Katsivo-Carter. And I cannot thank them enough for being a part of this very important conversation. So sit back, relax, and listen to this session. Welcome to this session of Online Courses That Sell, the Summer School Series. We are talking about the market research questions you need to be asking if you want a course that sells. I am so excited to welcome a panel of guest experts to have this conversation with me, including Jenny Wright, Julia Katsivo-Carter, and Presh Rogers. We should also be having Bree Williams join us in a little bit. But I want to make sure that we have a lot of time to have the discussion, to talk about these questions. So we are going to dive in. Now, you guys have been with me for a little bit, so you know that I always say the online course industry has thrived during the pandemic. It increased in value by $73 billion over the course of the pandemic, and it's now projected to be worth $370 billion by 2026. But you guys all know from the work you do with your clients that doesn't mean that selling your course is easy, right? We all know this because it's what our clients come to us to get help with through our various areas of expertise. So I am going to take a minute and I want you guys to just introduce yourself. We're going to go around the room. Jackie Sunga has joined us as well as one of our experts. Let's start with Jenny Wright. You're the first one up there. Jenny, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Absolutely. And thanks so much for doing this. Hey, everybody. I'm Jenny Wright. I'm a list build and lead generation specialist. I'm also a growth strategist, help people build high converting funnels and summits. I've done about 350 of those. And my whole goal is to get great, beautiful, gorgeous leads into your list so you can sell to them.
Awesome. And I know Jenny and I have worked in various ways, including a summit. Jenny was my summit manager, and Jenny is going to be a little bit of a permanent fixture for the next few episodes for this live podcast series. Julia, welcome. Please introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, everyone. I'm Julia Katsivo-Carter. I am a holistic business coach for women. And what I do is help them stop sacrificing freedom and playing small in their business. So all the little mindset stuff that will prevent you from taking that big action as you go on to create and sell your courses online, I'm here to help you identify, discover, uncover, and replace those limiting beliefs so that you can make your strategic moves intuitively and so that you can win.
Thank you so much. And welcome, Julia, to the Sell Your Online Course world. I know this is the first time we've worked together, and I'm so excited. Julia is going to be a permanent fixture for the entire series. So you are going to get to know her very, very well. Presh Rogers is back, our Pinterest badass. Presh, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
Hey, everyone. I'm Presh Rogers. So I am what I call the Pinterest badass. So I help online content creators and businesses basically learn how to drive more people and profit to their online businesses by leveraging Pinterest. So I'm excited to be here and talk about all these things.
Welcome and thank you for coming back, Presh. Very excited.
And no problem.
Jackie, hey there, how are you? Good morning. Introduce yourself to the world, Jackie.
Hey, good morning, Samantha. Thanks so much for having me and for hosting. This is so fun to be here. I am a conversion copywriter and brand voice specialist. I help established and new online course creators, coaches, service providers with launching programs, courses, group programs with their messaging. And I specialize in launch copy as well as brand voice so that they can connect with their customers and convert into sales. So I take a very data-driven and empathy-driven approach to messaging so they can sell without feeling sleazy, but also grow their brands and their businesses from their values.
Yes, I love the work that you're doing because I absolutely know it can be uncomfortable when we're asking for the sale. But of course, we're business owners. That's what we're here for. And Jackie is going to be in also a number of different episodes of this live podcast series. So I'm super excited. Now, when I was preparing for this live podcast series and coming up with the weekly topics, I Googled, why is my online course not selling? Right? Of course, that makes perfect sense with the topic of the series. And the results were just more people trying to sell me more promises to help me sell my course. But there were a few that were actually helpful resources in that Google search result. An article I read from Thinkific listed six of the top reasons that I see all the time. The one that really applies to what we are going to be talking about today is not validating your course idea. Because this is essentially what market research is. Getting out there, talking to your audience about what problem they have, how they want it solved, and what are they willing to pay for that solution. I also find that with market research, it's also where your sales and marketing messaging comes from because you're getting to hear how your potential course buyers are talking about the problem and what the solution will mean to them straight from their mouths. So let's dive in to some of the topics that we are going to discuss today. And here's my first question. You know, market research is a lot of work, and it certainly is not the path of least resistance when it comes to, you know, doing that foundational work for our business and our course. For the audience members who may not be completely sold on the value of putting in the time and effort to do market research, my question to you is, what is the top result you see your clients get when it comes to selling their course if they have done that market research ahead of time? So I'm going to come back. We're kind of going to go backwards. I'm going to come, Jackie, to you first. What is the top results you see your clients get when it comes to selling their course if they've done that market research ahead of time?
Okay. I love this question because as a conversion copywriter, this is actually the part of the service that we provide to our done for you clients. So I have a team member who actually helps me execute research for our clients. But even for my copy coaching clients, if I'm telling them what to do, I'm teaching them what to do, I'll share a story since that can illustrate things a lot more easily. So one of my clients who she had a really large presence on Instagram. She had about 20,000 followers. She had a pretty good email list for a new email list. It was like about 1,000. She had been selling workshops previously, and she really wanted to sell a group program, but no one was signing up for it. And then when we started working together, that's when I started to tell her about what she could do to validate the program before and really dial in her messaging. So we interviewed her clients or her past clients of like her workshop and potential good fits for her her high ticket group program. And we released a survey. We did different types of surveys as well to uncover like what are the problems that they're really struggling with and what do they really, 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 really want. This is a parent coach. So we could understand that there was a lot of people who didn't have a lot of time and they just really wanted more support than a workshop, but we really wanted to find out like what was the difference between the workshop and the group program that they really wanted to get out of it. And so once we collected a lot of the customer insights through those methods, especially the one-on-one conversations with her past customers and prospective customers,
She sold out her program a lot earlier, and she continues to have people respond to all of her landing pages, her sales pages, and her emails saying, how did you read my mind and get out of my head? And one person, she continues to get people to sign up for her program early because a lot of them are saying, like, this is language that I have never seen any other coach use before. And it's because we put in these systems. We, first of all, we collected a lot of the insights, but we also, after our project was over, we taught her basically how to continue to collect all of these responses herself. So yeah, exactly. It was definitely the dream, it's always great when you combine a really strong audience, an engaged audience, which she had, and a great offer, as well as with, the messaging that her audience said that they needed, what they're saying that they're struggling with and what they say that they want. And she was really, the thing that I loved about that the most was the fact that she had, she was really selling from her values. Like, she did not feel like she was selling from a place that felt really, really gross. and yeah. I think that, like, for her as a parent coach, that really, really mattered to her and her community, that they were feeling listened to and not like they were being like she was only selling something to you know, make money. So it was very in integrity with her values.
And I think that's the power when you talk to people before, it's not just the messaging, which you're talking about. I mean, that's the dream when people are connecting with your landing pages, and also knowing how to kind of make those changes or have those conversations even after, later on. But most importantly, that you've had these conversations with people and they've told you what they want and what they need, and you know that you're creating something to help them out. So I absolutely love that. Presh, I'd love to hear from you, specifically in the Pinterest world, but of course, in all of your clients, I know this trickles through in their business. What is the top result you see your clients get when it comes to selling their course if they have done the market research ahead of time, Presh?
Yeah, so really, I can just piggyback off of what Jacqueline said because I feel like she really hit it on the nail. It really comes down to when they're able to do that market research ahead of time, they're able to really understand like how to create messaging around what they need to say in order to actually bring the people that they're wanting to talk to into, you know, their course that they're selling, because it's really about how we say it. And a lot of times other people in your industry are all saying the same thing. So if you can word it a different way that, you know, it's going to hit home with your audience, it's going to be really helpful. And you can do that by understanding what it is that they're needing, what it is that they're wanting from you. And it also helps with my clients is making sure that they're not creating something that their audience doesn't really need. Like, they're really focused on making sure they're creating something that their audience has told them that this is what I want, this is what I need to get to that next step, whatever it is. So that's like my main thing. It's like you get better understanding of the messaging so that you know that you're speaking directly to them.
And I think it's so important because the last thing we want to do is pour our heart and soul and time into a course or any kind of offer, and then nobody buys it because our audience may not really even be looking for that, right? They may not even want it. And so we have to, right. I love that you've touched on that point. Thank you so much. Julia, what is the top result you see your clients get when it comes to selling their course if they have done this market research ahead of time? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, what a great question. I'll tell you, the top result is less overwhelm in the content that they produce. So what happens is that as experts, people go in with the ideas of what they want to produce and what they want to give, and they create this beautiful house and, you know, fully furnish it and all of that good stuff. And they find that, you know, their clients are overwhelmed. It's too much, or it's not been broken down into tangible steps or with really clear outcomes. And that's just something that happens because we take this from an expert point of view. So what the market research does is it really tells the creator, this is where I'm at. So, you know, maybe you want to give me this really grand experience, but this is where I'm at. Can you help me with this right now? So what I've seen is that the ones who do the market research, hands down, always know what that wake up in the morning problem is. Hands down. It's without a doubt. So when I hear the words, I think they want, I know you haven't done the research. And it doesn't matter what you tell me. When you know, like it's in the wording that I'll find out. But for any of my clients who've done the market research, who've listened to me and gone ahead and done the market research, they immediately know how to tackle the wake up in the morning problem, which then, you know, once that's resolved, will open up the gap for the other stuff that they want to produce. So it's really just solving what's needed right now, immediately, even while keeping that grand vision in mind.
I really like your answer, Julia. I thought that was a really good one, especially the wake up in the morning problem thing.
Yeah, I think you really touched on something there, Julia. And, you know, we do hear that as the pros that are working with you guys, as course creators, we hear, I think they want this, I think they want that. And one of the things my audience knows is I always say, if you try to throw the kitchen sink at your audience in your course, they are not going to finish it. They are not going to finish the course. And you know what? They're not going to come back for any of the other offers you have. So I absolutely love how you talk about, you know, the power of market research and being able to pull in that overwhelm that our clients might get if we try to put too much in our course. We can actually figure out exactly what they need and give it to them, which is always what's going to make them get the results. It's going to make them talk about the course to their friends. And of course, it's going to allow you to have the impact that you're here to make. So I love that answer, Julia.
Yeah.
Thank you. Jenny, you work with course creators on the lead generation side of this. I'd love to know, what is the top result you see your clients get when it comes to selling their course if they've done the market research ahead of time?
Well, I mean, I can't be much more plain to say that if they've done the market research, they're just going to make more sales. But I will say that in terms of the list building side of things, a lot of people don't bother to do the research. They have the great, big, beautiful, bold idea. And then they just think everybody's going to want it. And they don't stop to actually do the thing that, you know, all the other awesome people on this panel have talked about. And if I can go so far and so bold as to say that, like, step one, I think, is if you already have an email list, that you should be polling that email list. You should be sending a survey to that email list. You should be interacting with that email list, and you should be creating segmentation in that email list, which, by the way, is a form of market research if you look at it the right way. All that data, any data you can get from your email list is market research in my eyes. So by sending out a little 3-question survey, by segmenting your list, by having like a lead magnet, you know, something new, fresh, or different that they can click on and say, yeah, I'm interested in this thing, I want to get it. What's a great way of finding out if they're interested in your course or program? The great result that I've had or I've seen with my clients with market research is having true and honest conversations with people. So doing those, you know, that ideal client avatar call, right? Getting on those 15-minute calls, running people through sort of your like modules, asking them questions, would you pay this much? What would you blah, 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 all those different kinds of things. Those equal results. The people who don't do that are going to struggle. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And we're going to talk a little bit about different ways that you can get that kind of data without going on the calls. But I love that you started talking about these calls, because there's nothing more powerful than getting on a conversation with somebody and being able to really hear what words they're using to ask those questions, but also to be able, when you're on a call live with somebody, you can dig and keep saying, well, why? Why? So I absolutely love that. But we all know that it can be hard to successfully land market research calls, to get people to say, yeah, I can give you 15 minutes to answer some questions. So my next question is, what is one way that you have been able to successfully land market research calls in your own business, or to help your clients land those calls? Presh, let's start with you. How do you find people to talk to get on the phone with about market research calls?
Yeah, I like to offer them like kind of like an even exchange. So if I do like a market research call, I'm always going to give them the option to ask me one Pinterest strategy question. That way they're getting something from the call as well as I'm getting something from the call. They understand that they're not going to be pitched to. They understand that they're, it's completely for market research, and that as a thank you, I will, you know, answer a question that they might have burning, or, you know, that's more strategy based or something that can be answered pretty much in 5 to 10 minutes, just so they can feel like, okay, this is worth my time to come on this call to give her some feedback or to give her some market research. And in exchange, I'm getting something from this as well.
And the reason I really like that, you know, giving them that exchange, that, and of course, put your boundaries on it. You can ask me one question, right? Of course.
It's because, like, one question, like I always say, one burning question that you always wanted to answer to, or you need the answer to, because I want you to understand this is not a free strategy session, but, you know, and I always say, like, the last 5 to 10 minutes, I'll give you space to ask a question.
Yeah. And I absolutely love that. And this is really key, because you want to make sure that the people you're getting on the call are people who are actually interested in what you do. So of course, Presh is going to say, you can ask me one Pinterest question. I might say to them, you can ask me one course creation question. Jackie may say something about messaging, right? You want to make sure that you're upholding your boundaries, but you're also making sure that you're getting on the call with people who actually, because if they don't want to ask you a Pinterest question, Presh, then they're probably not going to be interested in whatever you're creating, because you're a Pinterest expert, right?
Exactly. So it's really just making sure, I think, there's, because you don't want to just feel like you're asking people to do something for you and you have nothing to kind of help them with either. And that also kind of builds a relationship, I think, because if I hop on a call with you, now we have a more intimate relationship, because now I probably know who you are. Maybe I know your Instagram or something like that. So we might follow each other, interact more. And now I'm building another type of relationship with you. So that is going to also help in the future, because now you know that I'm working towards something if I'm asking you market research questions anyway, and you might show interest, and that could be really helpful for the future.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, because, and I want to remind people of that, these market research calls end up being like your warm leads for your course.
Yes.
So you're building relationships, and that really makes it worthwhile. Jenny, where do you stand on this? What is one way that you have been able to successfully land market research calls or help your clients to do that?
I have a couple different strategies. One of them is I offer them a beta testing space later on when the course is actually out. So I'll, you know, for people who are really qualified, so I make sure that everybody I get on a market research call with is my ideal client. So I really state it out when I put out the post, if it's in a Facebook or to my list. So I make sure that they're super clear. The people that I think are a really good fit, I will offer them in return that little beta spot in the course if it fits. You know, I've done also the ask me your burning question like Presh does. But the other thing that I've also done is I've I've offered them an opportunity to check out something else that I have. So if I already have something else in my arsenal of stuff, another program, product, or service, like a low cost thing, then I'll offer them access to something like that in return for their time. Because the phone call thing, or like, you know, like Presh said, like ask, you know, this isn't a strategy call. I don't want to give them away a ton of my own stuff right now, because I'm really just trying to gather that information. But using those methods has always garnered me 12 to 15 calls, no problem, which I find is usually enough to get the information and the data that I need. And I should be good from there.
That is one I hadn't really thought of. Many of us have small digital products that we could say, hey, I'll give you a copy of this, or I'll give you access to this. Even if it's a course, like I might give them access to it for a week or a month or whatever to get them in there. I absolutely love that. And I think, you know, Jenny and I could have a whole conversation about how that strategy might work and what the boundaries around that might be. And maybe we will for another time, Jenny. But I want to make sure that Jackie can weigh in on this as well, because I know this is going to be key in what she does with her clients. Jackie, what is one way that you have been able to successfully land market research calls or help your clients to do that when they're trying to work out their messaging?
Oh my gosh, that's such a great question. I love what everybody had to say already beforehand, so I want to really echo what they're saying. But something that I've done that's different than what has been said already is I will always recommend, and a lot of my clients have been, they're not like in marketing, they're not like business coaches talking to other course creators. They're often they're psychologists or therapists, or they have, you know, a master's degree in something that's not business or marketing. So often they will have like a lot of their own like favorite books or something that's like relevant to their audience. And so what one person did in particular, she created this idea herself actually based on my suggestion. My suggestion was to like think about, okay, do you happen to have funds like a gift card that you could give to your audience? This was a marriage and family therapist, and she had like a bunch of books in her own personal library that were basically extra. And so she teaches couples essentially how to argue better and connect more. And so in order to incentivize people to get on calls with her, she had like this really great like goodie basket basically of like books and like gift cards of places that they could go to have dinner like as a date for you know, to strengthen their marriage. So she had basically all of these different gifts that didn't really she wasn't really losing anything because she had her own copies of these books. But so she basically gave those away to people who were I think it was either they took the survey or if they were on the call. Yeah, if they were on the call with her. But yeah, it was like look around and see like what do you have laying around? Maybe not a physical product, but like, yeah, something that is valuable to your ideal customer, but that, you know, you have something in excess of. and that you feel really generous and that it's aligned to offer that as a thank you. So that was a really creative idea that one of my past clients had implemented.
And I love that you really touched on the point that it should align with the course, right? It should, because again, it's much like what I was saying after Presh talked, you don't want to get people on the phone that aren't looking for your course because you may not then get the data that you need, right? And I love how Jenny put the boundaries on it. You know, sometimes people will say you need to talk to 50 to 100 people. I love how Jenny said, you know what? By 12 to 15, I kind of have what I need. So I want to talk about, you know, being able to do that in 12 to 15 calls really is all about the questions that you're asking and knowing what questions to ask. So I would love to know what are, you know, two of your top questions that should be on the audience list to ask on their next market research call. Jenny, let's go to you on this. What are your top questions that should be on the audience's list to ask?
It's a good question. And I guess the top questions are always going to be, there's about 12. I'll break it down really fast. I won't do all 12, but I will break it down. So my whole thing is, what is the outcome that you're trying to receive when you take an online course? Because that will tell me sort of what everybody has a different sort of thing. So some people are like, I want my entire problem solved, or I want insight that'll get me one step closer to my goal, or I want access to the one tool that's going to, you know, so some people, when they take a course, they want their problem completely solved A to Z, which means they're looking for a signature course. Some people just want the one little problem solved that's going to get them to that next step. That is one of those bite-sized courses, right? So the course that I'm building may or may not be a signature course or a bite-sized course, but I want to know from my market research call what their intention is to receive, because we're always dealing and managing with expectations for the people who are purchasing whatever it is that we're buying. And we have to make sure that we have clear expectations. So if somebody tells me they want a signature course and I'm like, well, the one that I'm building is actually a bite-sized course, then I can have more of a conversation. Another question that I always ask is, you know, have you participated in insert type of course that I'm doing here? Have you ever participated in a course that is a follow on your own, you know, like not a guided course? Have you ever participated in a course that has group coaching sessions, that kind of thing? I kind of want to understand a little bit more about their experience. And then I'm going to ask them things that are very direct and distinct to the problem that they're trying to overcome. And then I tell them a little bit about the course that I'm trying to build or what I'm thinking of building. And I ask them just like very direct questions like, If you were presented with this type of information, do you think that it would be sufficient to solve the problem that you're currently experiencing? Or if I shared this information with you, do you think it's enough to solve your problem? Or what do you think is currently missing in your, you know, in this? So I try and get as much information as I possibly can. And then one of the other ones, it's quite leading and you never get the same answer, but I always ask, what would you pay for this? And the answers are like all over the place. I remember one of them I did, the answers were like $297, $650. And then somebody said $12.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
Yeah. I think we've all been there and had that is the hardest question, but it's also very important. The other questions that I love that you asked was about, you know, have you ever been in a course that did this or did that, right? Because then what you're kind of doing is like, was there group coaching? Was there, you know, a Q&A? Like you're asking them, you know, if they've experienced this, but you're also opening up the opportunity for them to say that, no, I don't need that, or I wouldn't use that. And you kind of get that insight into how you can package the course as well. But I think one of the other things that I thought that was really key that you said was, you can ask them if they've done a signature course or a bite-sized course. And if they say they haven't, that doesn't mean they're not your client. Don't hang up the phone right then. But you can start to dive. Remember what I was saying? You can start to dive deeper and say, okay, well, would you ever? Why haven't you? And really get into that. So I absolutely love that. Julia, let's talk about your thoughts on this. What are the top questions that should be on the audience's list to ask on their next marketer research call? Just give me one or two.
Yeah, I really love what was presented before. Some of the things that I do with my market research questions is I ask them according to my customer journey. One of the questions I ask is, you know, how have you tried to solve the problem? Or where would you go to solve the problem? And that really shows me what I'm up against in terms of, say, competition or alternatives, because the assumption is that the person has the problem and that they're going to find a solution. And those are the kind of people that I attract, go-getters, right? So it's always, you know, what did you try to do to solve this? Or how would you solve this? And that usually tells me where they're going, you know, and that's where you hear, oh, I'd ask my friend if they know of someone, or, and that would be like, okay, so more of that word of mouth is what you prefer, or referral, or, oh, I just go on Google and this is what I type in. And that tells me what they're looking for when they go on online searches. So just even knowing how your competitors, who are not competitors, I'm just using that word for now, your collaborators, however you want to say it, knowing what, you know, how they're presenting their information and where the gaps are perhaps in your own marketing.
Oh, and we say competitors, right? We all have competition. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but yeah, I can do my competitor research when I ask them that question. But I think the power in that question really is, I'm now hearing, are they in problem solving mode, mm-hmm. right? Are they actually going out to solve their problem? So I absolutely love that. And I want to go to Presh on this and hear Presh's thoughts on what the top questions should be, because Pinterest is kind of a place where people are already going. They're already in problem solving mode when they hit Pinterest. So Presh, what are some of the top questions that should be on their audience list? Just give me one or two.
Yeah, I definitely, I would give you my top one. My top one is always asking them, like, what are they, you know, if they have this problem, whatever the problem is, what are they searching for on like Google or YouTube or Pinterest? This is going to help, like me specifically, if I'm doing market research for my own self, is making sure that I'm using the correct keywords when I am creating content. So for Pinterest, for my blog or whatever it is, because I want to make sure that it's SEO optimized. So making sure that I'm asking them what it is that they're actually searching for is going to really help me, because a lot of times we think like the experts that we are. So what we might search for might not be what they are searching for. It might be a completely different way than they're thinking about it or where they're starting from. And you want to be able to make sure that you're meeting them where you need to be. And it's also going to help you maybe create like a freebie or a lead magnet to get them like onto your email list by using those keywords, because maybe they're searching for something that's in the beginning stage, and maybe your course is for them a little bit like maybe further down the line. So you want to kind of still be able to meet them.
I love that. And I love that you touched on the keywords and really, because it's also, before we go to Jackie, who I know will have something, who will always connect the dots for us on messaging, I think it's so important that we understand how to get found, right? How to get found in SEO, how to get found in Pinterest. It might even be, you know, what hashtags use, whatever it is that you're doing. So I love that you brought that up. That's amazing. Thanks, right. Prash. Mm-hmm. Now, Jackie, let's go to you on this. What is the top question, one or two, that should be on the audience list to ask on their next market research call?
Okay, this is a great question, and this is probably my favorite question because I don't believe this was shared yet. If I missed it, I apologize. But my favorite question to ask, and this is the thing that even I work on with both like my Done For You clients and my copy coaching clients, really helping them uncover their unique value proposition, which basically means how are they different than other people? So the question that I will teach my coaching clients to ask their audience is if they're, and this depends on who they're asking. So if they are talking to a past customer or if they are talking to someone who has never bought anything before, but that's an ideal client, those are two, you would ask a different question to the different people, but it's the same thing that you want to uncover. So the question is basically, if it's a past customer, you want to ask, how was this offer different from other solutions that you've tried before? And also uncover, like, what are the things that they've tried before, but really uncovering in their words, how was their experience different? And we can talk about unique selling proposition. I could go on for that forever, but I'm not. But then for people who are not a customer, and they are an ideal customer for your offer, you'll want to ask them, what other things are they trying right now? And what is keeping them stuck? So even if they've, so for me, for example, like if I wanted to sell copywriting templates, right? Like I would want to ask people who have bought other copywriting templates, what was limiting about those, or what kept them stuck when they bought these other copywriting templates, and where essentially is the failed attempt not serving them. And I wouldn't say failed attempt, but that's basically what I would want to uncover. Where is the other solution kind of falling short?
Yeah, I love that. And it's one of the things that I always say to my course creators when they're doing market research, but also when they're doing competitor research, right? We want to look at the market and see, you know, where are your competition? Like, what are they doing well? And where are they dropping the ball? And I think there's a power in asking that in our market research calls as well. I absolutely love that, because that's how you're going to make sure that you're coming up with a product that is going to solve what hasn't been solved before, rather than just creating another course or another piece of the pie. Now, I always recommend completing as many calls as possible, but I would love to know some other ways that you've gotten market research done without being on a call with your prospective course buyer or client. Jenny kind of alluded to segmentation within your email list, which is something I've been playing around with, but I'd love to hear some of the other things that you do aside from getting on a call that can give you that market research data. Julia, let's start with you.
Yes, honestly, I think the internet is one of the best things that's ever happened in my lifetime. I started off with Yellow Pages and knocking on doors, but what I've found is that the people who are in my target market, I don't go to groups to watch their conversations. What I do is I just watch their day-to-day conversations on the social platforms I'm on. When they go into groups to ask questions, they're leading from a specific point of view and whatnot, and I don't get as much data as when I'm simply following them on social and just seeing how they're wording their day-to-day life and the experiences they're having. And that tells me. So you'll find that a newbie will use the words overwhelm. You know, I'm feeling overwhelmed, like so much to do. You'll find that someone who's seasoned and is having a lot to do will say, I have a never-ending list. And that's where you learn to see the differences between people's mindset, where they're at, and how they approach things. And that's just by just being on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, Pinterest, and just looking at the language they use every day, day to day, subconsciously, where they're not really thinking about going for a solution. They're just sharing the perspectives.
I think that's such an important angle to hear to hear from them, right? To even if we're reading with it on the feed. I do love that you gave us a different option than groups, because one of the things that I know that really blew my mind recently in a conversation with one of our experts that are going to join us later, Katie Brinkley, was going into those clubhouse rooms and just being a fly on the wall and listening. And that can help us get some ideas and hear things from their business, like their business mindset. But what Julia is talking about is also just hearing how it's affecting their day-to-day lives by going through and checking them out on social media. So I think that's a cool trick. I love it.
It is, especially if you have like world events or something that's really major that you know is impacting people. That's a really cool time to think about who would I love, love, love to work with, and then just be the fly on the wall on their wall. Just go and see how they're responding to things, how they respond to things. If you know something major has happened in their lives, see how they respond to it over the days. What are they saying? Where's their head at? How do they think? I mean, it's full out stalking. I don't know if there's a better way to put it.
I think, we call it the social media creep, but we're not doing it from a, like, we're not doing it from a malicious perspective,
no, but that is,
that's right. Let's go. Jenny, I want to hear your thoughts on this. What are, other than getting on the phone, what are some other ways that you have gotten this market research data?
Well, I know that I kind of like jumped the gun a little earlier and started talking about segmentation and things. I think surveying your current audience is key. And we're always a little reticent to survey our audience because we're like, well, what if nobody answers it? Or what if I'm bothering them? And things like that. I like to survey my people once a quarter. And it's not a long survey. It's literally three questions. You know, what's going on in your life? What's the biggest thing that you're struggling with right now? How are you getting help to overcome it or to, you know, to work your way through it? And what's your desired outcome? Like, what's the thing that you actually want to happen? Because sometimes the problem that people have isn't it doesn't associate with the outcome that they want. And you can find out quite quickly whether or not their problem and their outcome are actually the same thing. Because as we all know, sometimes when people say they have X problem, it's actually not the problem they're actually struggling with. It's something else. They've just put a different name on it. So trying to find that information. So I love to survey people. I really like to find out what people are thinking. And the other way that I do that as well is, and it's not a call thing, it's within my own Facebook group as well. Like, I will ask questions on a regular basis, just being like, hey, what are you guys working on right now? What's the thing? And it's like what the other ladies on this panel said, you can get a lot just from the creep. And I love the creeping. So I will do that ad nauseum until I find out what I want.
I think too, when we feel those blocks come up where we don't want to bother them, or, you know, what if nobody answers? I think it's really about, again, you've kind of, by saying I do it once a quarter, they expect it, right? You're almost training your audience to expect that that's going to happen, and you're setting those boundaries and you're letting them know. And if they don't want to answer it, they won't. But I know that when I have that kind of structure in place, and maybe it's just me, I just feel a little bit more comfortable going to them and saying, hey, it's that time. Let's definitely dive in. Here's my quarterly thing. I would love your feedback. If you love being in the community, you know, take 5 minutes. And I think that's the other key thing, is that if you are going to do a survey, make it short, make it easy. Just like yes, no's, clicks here. Like, there's a reason why people scroll through and just like things. It's easy. So try to make it as easy as you can. Jackie, let's hear from you on this before we go to Presh. What are some of the other ways you've gotten market research done without being on a call with your prospective course buyer or client?
Yeah, I appreciate this question, Samantha, especially because I know how draining it can be to be on a lot of calls. And that's definitely the sort of thing, like, you really want to batch all of those and like in one time period. But if you decide not to, for whatever reason, something that I have done that's different than what some ladies have shared before that might be helpful is when you have already, this is for, let's say you are you have already implemented a website landing page or a services page or a sales page for your new course or coaching program or what have you. Something that you can do if you, you know, maybe again, you don't want to offer free strategy or a gift card or what have you. There's a website called usertesting.com, which essentially allows you to get recordings of people going through a page that you're like, I'm not really sure about my messaging here. Or I'm not really sure about how people are, people's user experience. I'm not really sure how they are experiencing it. I really want to hear somebody else's experience of it because I'm really getting into my head. Now, user testing is a paid platform, but if you decide not to use it, you can still, what I've done in the past is if I had a sales page that I was writing and I really, again, I felt like I was in my head about it, I write my first draft of it and I send it to a past customer who is an ideal fit for the offer. And I will ask them to tell me about answer a couple questions. It's just basically, is this clear who it is for? Is the messaging consistent? What emotion do you feel when you read the copy? Other similar questions like that, that are really short and not open-ended, but really, really targeted and focused questions so that I can basically test my messaging. So that's something that you could do like after you have a survey, you know, you implement specific phrasing from that survey, you've already started to draft the copy, but now you're like really trying to validate, like, is this, validate with a few people before you actually launch it to the rest of the world. So, that's a really helpful step for me again, to just basically like gut check. It's like a gut check really. And it just gives you those final opportunities to edit something in a way, again, because you're getting that feedback from a few select people before you actually, share it with like everyone on your email list and everyone on social media and whatnot.
Yeah, I love that. And it's always great to hear what different tools are out there to help us make this easier, right? Because it is a lot of work. Nobody's denying that. But you can see just from this conversation, the power in it. Presh, before we wrap up on this question, I got to hear your thoughts. What are some ways you've gotten market research done without being on a call with your prospective client or course buyer?
Yeah, so I guess I'd definitely be creeping a lot. I guess that's our new thing. But I think I definitely do. I don't know if anyone uses Reddit, but there's like this forum. I think it's called like Explain It To Me Like I'm Five. That's like one of the places I will go. But like Reddit in general, I will go there for everything when I'm doing market research on something, just to see maybe if like for me, if I see a post where someone's talking about Pinterest, I'm going to go into that post and see what questions people might be asking whoever is like the original poster about Pinterest. And that's going to help me come up with things that people might be interested in or confused by, or like content that I can be creating. The same thing is also, I always say leverage your the other industry experts. I don't like to say competition. I mean, it is competition, but I just say industry experts in your field by like, maybe if they have like some kind of training, attending the training and seeing what questions people are asking within the chat, or, you know, asking to them, because then you can see what things that people want to know. Same thing for like looking at their Instagram, like the comment section of like their posts and things like that. You can see people asking questions or saying what are their pain points and things like that. So you can definitely be creeping out here and looking at your competition, your industry experts. And my last thing will be the Facebook ads library, because you can see all the ads that people are running. And if somebody that you know or in your same industry is running an ad, you can see like what are the pain points that they're touching on within like their copy and things like that.
I never thought of Reddit, and I actually fell down like a rabbit hole of this podcast that they basically use Reddit, this one Reddit forum. And I never even thought of Reddit. That's amazing, Presh. I love that. And I also love that you said, you know, if not, it's not competition in a bad way. I mean, we all have competition, but I love how you reframed it as other industry experts. I think that's awesome.
Now, right, because I'm we're all here to do the same thing, and it's fine.
Exactly,
there's enough of us here, enough people, and everybody's going to flock to whoever they feel is the best for them, and that's completely fine. And we're all going to be talking about the same thing most of the time.
Exactly. Now, before we wrap up, you guys are all experts in your own field. So in 30 seconds, I'm going to say to you, how do you help with your expertise? How do you help your clients use the information they found in their market research to sell their course? When they come to you and they've done this market research, how do you help them use it specifically? Let's start in 30 seconds. Jackie, tell me how you would help them use that information.
Yeah. So it's a lot of data that they get, right? So then I like to have them organize it into either if we're doing it for them or if they're doing it themselves, I like to have them organize it into 5 sections. So their pain points, desires, the things that their customers have tried before, failed attempts, what is unique to that customer's brand, and then what their desired life is. So yeah, I know. Hopefully that was under 30 seconds, yes. But I organize it and have them organize it in those ways.
And then they use it when they're working with you, they use it to create their messaging, correct?
Yeah. So especially if they're like working on a sales page or something like that, that's one of the first things that's the main thing that they have, that I have copy coaching clients, right? Because often I find when you can really structure a good sales page and write a strong sales page, I find that a lot of other launch copy comes from that when they understand the best sequence for it. So yeah, having them organize it in that way.
Yeah. And for those of you who have that blank screen syndrome, when it comes time to write a sales page, here's a reason to have market research. Jenny, in 30 seconds, give me how you help your clients use this information they found in their market research.
Oh, we're totally going to use that information for a pre-launch list build or a way to connect with the audience, be it a 5-day challenge or something like that. So we're going to take all that information. We're going to figure out exactly what's going on. And then we're going to build a list build strategy around it just to get engagement going. Because if you go from, you know, just regular old social media posting to launch, sometimes that doesn't work as well as if you engage that audience first. And so we'll do that targeted.
Absolutely. And that means one of your questions is going to be, hey, do you like to take challenges? Do you attend summits? Or whatever you might be thinking in terms of the list build strategy. Right, Jenny?
Absolutely. 100%.
Awesome. Julia, in 30 seconds, your client, your prospective client comes to you with this market research. They've already done it. How are they going to use it with you and your services?
Yeah, so we look at that information, and the question is always, what's the wisest, fastest path to success? So what can we intuitively do that's not going to be too much for you, that is going to be of value to them, and that we can get on board? And usually it's, what's that thing that they're waking up struggling with? What's that thing that they've said? How do we address it? And then it's off to the races.
Love it. And I love how, you know, just efficient and succinct. It sounds like you are with your clients, helping them get right to the nitty gritty. I love it. Presh, last but not least, tell me in 30 seconds, your client comes to you with all this market research. How are you helping them use it with your products and services?
Yeah, so very similar to Jenny, it's going to definitely be used to build that list up, because when they're using Pinterest, that's really one of the big things they want to get people on their email list so that they can nurture them. So we're going to make sure that we're using what they're getting on like their landing page so that people are going to sign up for whatever the free offer is. And then making sure also within that welcome sequence or that first sequence that they get into, that a lot of the messaging is also there as well.
And people are dancing over to Pinterest right now. I saw something the other day. Apparently Instagram engagement might be low. I'm not 100% sure. Instagram is not one that I post on a lot. It's one I go to be entertained on a lot. But people are dancing over to Pinterest. So if this is something that you're considering, Presh is standing there waiting. Right, Presh?
Definitely. Pinterest is untapped gold, and it's definitely a different audience than it is on Instagram. So definitely check out Pinterest.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a great conversation that has really given us some amazing jumping off points and action items to get started with market research straight away. Some of the biggest takeaways that I want everyone to walk out of this live podcast recording session with is, you know, about why market research is worth the time and effort. So some of the takeaways I want you to think about is that you're getting real-time feedback about what people want and what they are willing to pay for it. You understand how your audience is talking about their problems so you can come up with your marketing message. And we touched on this at the beginning of our conversation, warm leads before your course is even finished, simply by going back and telling people you spoke to that the course they said they were looking for is ready. So, all right, audience members, all that you've learned here today is nothing without action. Don't ever forget that. So I want you to do two things as soon as we wrap. One, I want you to access your goodie bag of free resources from this week's guest experts and download the awesome goodies that they've got for you. Press Rogers has brought her free masterclass, The 3 Pins to Pinterest Success, Turn Your Content into Cash. Jackie Sunga has brought a free launch checklist, which is going to help you with all of the things that you need to think about before you launch your checklist. So it's going to get you started. Jenny, thank you so much for bringing your free online guide, Turn Your List Build Efforts into Pure Profit. And Julia Katsivo-Carter has brought her breakthrough series, How to Grow Your Business in as Little as 15 Minutes a Week, Even If You Don't Have a Business Plan. So in a minute, I'm going to ask the experts to share where you can connect with them, their top social media platform. But before I do, the other action item, once you've got your goodie bag, is I want you to send me a DM on your preferred social media channel, whichever that is. I'm on all of them at Hey Samantha King, and tell me the one thing you are going to take action on after this podcast. So let's start with you, Jenny. What is the social media platform that people can connect with you on once they've downloaded your guide?
Absolutely. Come and find me on Instagram. That's probably where I'm the most active, although I kind of play around on TikTok, but that's just more, you know, personal fun. But come find me on Instagram and connect with me there.
And your handle is at Jenny L. Wright.
Correct.
Presh, where is the one place they can connect with you?
Find me on Instagram because it's my favorite place to show up for all my Pinterest shenanigans, and that's at Presh Rogers. So Rogers with a D.
Absolutely, and I love following Presh on there. So once you grab her free masterclass, head on over and connect with her. Jackie, once they grab their free launch checklist, where are they going to connect with you?
I am also playing around with TikTok. I really want to have more fun on there. but yes, I am also on Instagram, Jackie Sunga Co.
Amazing. Julia, where should they connect with you? What is your favorite handle so that they can continue the conversation after they've downloaded your free gift?
I'm a polygamist. I don't have a favorite, but I am on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. I am Julia Katsivo-Carter or Successful Smart Biz. I really am on all of them. I'm just that techie nerdy person who just can't help it.
Yes, I'm on YouTube as well. So I love that. We're going to have to connect over there as well and just be friends, be YouTube friends.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much to our experts. Join us next week on Wednesday, July 6th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for our next live podcast episode where we're talking quizzes, free bundles, and resource week giveaways. How can you make them work for you? Have a great rest of your day. Experts, I truly, truly appreciate you joining us. And for those of you in the audience, thanks for spending some time with us. I'm Samantha King, and I'll see you later. Hey there, it's Samantha, and I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Online Courses That Sell. This episode was brought to you by the Sell Your Online Course membership. You can join the community for $9 a month by going to sellyouronlinecourse.com/join. I'll see you in the community.